welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. Today is Monday, August 8th, and today on the show, we're talking about the work of an influential artist and teacher. When Harvey Dunn died in 1952, his obituary in the New York Times bore the headline, Harvey Dunn, 68 years old, artist, teacher. He was an illustrator and painter. His illustrations appeared in the Saturday Evening Post and other prominent publications in the early 20th century, and he was also a very influential teacher. We're talking about him because here in Chattanooga, the Hunter Museum of American Art has a new exhibit, Masters of the Golden Age, Harvey Dunn and His Students. Stephanie Plunkett joins us to talk about it. She's the deputy director and chief curator of the Norman Rockwell Museum. That's one of the museums that collaborated to create the exhibit. Stephanie Plunkett, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to start out with a quote from Dan Howe. He's an artist and he's listed on your website. He wrote a kind of a bio of Harvey Dunn for this exhibition. He says, Harvey Dunn has been gone for over 60 years, and renewed interest in his work is long overdue. Why do you think that is? Why is his work being explored again, and why is it long overdue?
I think Harvey Dunn was really a preeminent artist and teacher during the early to mid-20th century. And I think what's remarkable is that a number of illustrators, including Dunn, have had a tremendous impact on the American psyche, and yet their names are not necessarily known. He, in particular, I would have to say, was probably the most significant educator of artists during the 20th century, certainly of illustrators. So to really revisit his work, to look at what he accomplished and what he taught his students has been a really exciting experience, and I think people are surprised by what they find.
And Dunn, for people who aren't familiar with what his work looks like, I mean, you look at it, it immediately gives you that sense of classic pulp art, cowboys, knights, sword fighting, battlefield scenes. It really evokes that nostalgic era of maybe the 1920s, 1930s, the pulp art that was so popular back then.
That's a great description, because, of course, he was working for magazines, and the magazines were seen by millions. This is something we cannot fathom today.
Yeah.
They were done for fiction articles that were, in some cases, very long, very dramatic. They were sometimes fantasy subjects. Sometimes they were subjects relating to real life, to love and romance, and they were a little bit like, if you think about what a daytime soap opera might be today. That's what those stories were. And the illustrations really brought the characters and the themes to life. So, for people who obviously at that stage didn't have a television because they weren't around, they could really imagine into those characters and those dramas that Harvey Dunn was so good at staging.
And to talk about Harvey Dunn as an educator and an illustrator, I think it's important to talk about his mentor, his educator, Howard Pyle, who was considered one of the most influential in America. Who was Howard Pyle? Why is he so significant?
Pyle was really amazing. By some, he's called the grandfather of American illustration. He was, in his own right, a very important teacher, really the first teacher who focused in on how to talk to illustrators about being visual storytellers. He had a studio in Wilmington, Delaware, but he taught widely and lectured widely, and he actually met Harvey Dunn as a lecturer at the Chicago Art Institute. And what he said to his students was, you have to imagine the picture plane as a window into a world that you're helping your viewers to see and understand. You yourself have to understand what your pictures are about. If you want to paint the American West, you need to go out west. For example, N.C. Wyeth, who also was one of his students, went and became a rancher, a hand on a ranch out west, and really absorbed the experiences that he was painting about. So Pyle told his students, you must not necessarily always paint the moment of crescendo. in an article, think about what happened before that moment, what happened after that moment, and have a really clear focal point.
Oh, that's really interesting because, yeah, I think a lot of me anyway, not that I'm any kind of an artist, but if I were tasked with trying to come up with a image to sum up a story, I probably would pick like the climax, the most dramatic moment to do it. But you're saying that's not always the best approach.
Exactly, because he advised the illustrator, you know, make your picture expand and enhance what people are reading, not necessarily always echo specifically, so that the artist becomes kind of an equal contributor to the process. And, you know, Pyle himself created many, many illustrated books, sometimes as the writer and illustrator, like in his Book of Pirates from 1921. So our imagination, our vision of what the pirate looked like came really directly from Howard Pyle and all the Johnny Depp movies. Pirates of the Caribbean referenced Pyle's paintings very specifically.
Oh, so it's things that are still influencing us today, basically.
Absolutely. I think one of the things we don't think about is the way that artists have shaped our vision of what happened, who we are, especially in people like Pyle and Harvey Dunn, where they're painting subjects that could not have been seen by anybody. So they're constructing a vision based upon the information that they've gathered as incredible researchers of history and a whole variety of subjects, allowing us to see into them.
At Harvey Dunn, I remember reading a quote from him where he basically said, you know, art, a lot of people think art is kind of frivolous, but the Greeks, for example, that's pretty much all we have left of them is their artwork. Artwork is the thing that survives long after the society has collapsed.
Absolutely. I mean, art speaks to its times. There's no question about it. You certainly have the vision of one individual, but in actuality, art is always a reflection of its times. And I think we're drawn to the visual. So many times it's really the imagery that survives.
You're just tuning in. I'm speaking with Stephanie Plunkett, the deputy director of the Norman Rockwell Museum. They've put together an exhibition of paintings by Harvey Dunn and his students, which is currently on display at the Hunter Museum here in Chattanooga. Harvey Dunn, it sounds like this was a pretty significant part of his life. In World War II, he went out to illustrate scenes from the battlefield. I mean, cameras existed back then, but they had artists out there painting these things that were going on, these war scenes. Why did they do that? Because you could have just taken photographs.
You know, I think the artist's vision is sort of a unique one. And at the time, during World War I, the United States government wanted artists to bring back pictures that were in some ways very heroic. They wanted to control the imagery that was presented because, of course, the illustrations would have been reproduced as posters, encouraging people to buy Liberty Bonds. And what happened was a little bit different. Dunn and seven other contemporaries went out as members of the American Expeditionary Forces. Dunn was actually in France at the front lines. And the legend has it that he constructed his own contraption that had a big roll of paper on it and an easel, and he just continued to draw no matter the circumstances, even though there were times when his commanding officers asked him to sort of move out of the way. But what Dunn found was that the experience was extremely profound, not necessarily in a heroic way, but in a way that tracked the experiences, the actual experiences of people who were fighting and also people who experienced tremendous loss during the war. So those were the kinds of statements that he wanted to bring back. What happened was a little bit unfortunate and disappointing for him because being in all the action, he did not necessarily have time to finish his paintings on location, so he kept drawing. And then the armistice came, so the war ended, and he was really never able to submit those final paintings for use by the government. And of course, the government, after the war was over, wasn't as interested in publishing them. So he spent about the next 10 years working up a series of 33 finished paintings inspired by his experiences. And many of them were published on the cover of American Legion magazine, so in about 1928. And, you know, what he basically said was he wanted to create images of that gave people a sense of the experience, not necessarily all the specific details, but there's a wide range of things that are represented. I mean, there are soldiers actually in battle. He sort of places us as the viewer right on the scene. There's a very poignant scene in the exhibition of a mother and her daughter just overseeing the damage to their home. So I think Dunn came back, as he said, scarred by the experience, but still wanting to convey what actually happened there.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be out there literally risking your life at the forefront of a battlefield only to have your employer, the government, say, you know what? We've decided we're not going to use all that stuff you risked your life to create.
Yes, exactly. And I think there is a great tradition of embedded artists, actually, which goes back probably even earlier than this. But Winslow Homer was actually on the battle line of the Civil War and doing drawings and sending his drawings to the newspapers, where skilled engravers would recreate them for the papers. So. And during World War II, many artists, also illustrators, out at the battlefields. But we still have illustrators who go out with the armed forces and create imagery of what actually happens. There's something about the artist's vision that sort of tunes right into the heart of the story.
That's Stephanie Plunkett. We're talking about the Harvey Dunn exhibit at the Hunter Museum of American Art. We'll have more in just a moment.
This is WUTC, essential news, eclectic music, every day.
This election year has been a lot to take in, but through it all, NPR has been there to help you wade through it.
We're going to talk now about whether their arrows hit the bullseye or found some other bull-related
product. We're going to hear about some of the actual numbers and how the U.S. vets refugees.
NPR's Eric Westervelt looks at both sides of the debate over the cost of higher education.
Stay informed every day from now until November on this station.
Support for WUTC comes from One Price Framing, where posters to masterpieces are custom framed with a wide selection of framing materials. A new location, 4801 Brainerd Road, 894-7323.
If you are a business, consider getting your message out while also supporting your public radio station, WUTC. For information concerning underwriting, call Bill Galloway at 423-322-1865, and thank you.
You're listening to Around It About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Harvey Dunn. He was an influential American painter, illustrator, and teacher. There's an exhibit at the Hunter Museum right now called Harvey Dunn and His Students. And we're speaking with Stephanie Plunkett from the Norman Rockwell Museum. They're one of the organizations that put the exhibition together. Harvey Dunn, in addition to being an illustrator and a teacher, he actually became president of the Society of Illustrators. And it sounds like towards the end of his life, he was really railing against some of the changes that were happening in the publishing industry, making it more of an anonymous process where the companies would dictate to a studio, this is the illustration we want, and unnamed artists would then create those illustrations versus Dunn's approach, which is, I'm an artist, I want my name on this painting. In fact, he literally said, why would I want to create a painting that I wouldn't be allowed to sign my name to? And that's so interesting because today, of course, it's always anonymous. When you see an ad in a magazine, you have no idea who took that photograph or who created that graphic that's being used. It just sounds like it was such a different time for illustrators.
Absolutely. I think what you're mentioning is really significant. You know, when Dunn was starting out, illustrators were highly desired. So it was almost like there was more work than could be filled. So if you were a skilled illustrator, you could probably find assignments. But as the publications changed, they began to use more photography. So narrative picture making in terms of illustration was not as significant. But also the rise of television became significant also. The magazines were seen as a little bit old-fashioned for the companies who were wanting to advertise. And TV, starting in the 1950s, was seen as the new medium. So, you know, at that point, a lot of publications were going out of business, and they were trying everything they could, I think, to spend less money on illustration by getting people who would be willing to do work for hire without signing their name, as you said, and sort of having bigger fees. But I think something was greatly lost in that process, because when Dunn was working, people knew his name. They knew him. They knew his signature. Just like with Norman Rockwell, people trusted him to tell a story that they could believe in. And so illustrators were really among the celebrities of their times during the early to mid-20th century. And that really was to change. And I would probably challenge anybody these days to name an illustrator that they might know well, maybe with the exception of some people working in the children's book field.
And Stephanie Plunkett, you're the deputy director of the Norman Rockwell Museum. You've brought this Harvey Dunn exhibition to Chattanooga, to the Hunter Museum. What, if anything, is the connection between Harvey Dunn and Norman Rockwell, who is, of course, extremely well known? I think visually they don't necessarily have a lot in common, but just kind of the nostalgia that it evokes in people seeing these paintings, maybe.
I think they were both committed to visual storytelling. Like Rockwell said, you know, to me, the story is the first thing and the last thing. And that was true with Harvey Dunn, too. You know, he really didn't have a desire to be painting for personal pleasure, though he did, you know, some of that. He really loved the idea of being an illustrator. And I think they were visual communicators at the heart. They loved doing pictures that people would see and respond to. They both received sacks of mail. And you could probably tell the story of early 20th century America through the responses of their viewers. So, you know, I think actually Rockwell was about 10 years younger than Harvey Dunn, but they were certainly contemporaries at a time when magazines were the windows to the world for many, many Americans.
And as a teacher, of course, he's very well known now. This exhibition features paintings not only by him, but his students. And for people who are interested in trying to get an idea of what he was like as a teacher, there's a book you can find online. You can find PDFs of it pretty easily, called An Evening in the Classroom, which is just a transcription of things that he said to his students during one evening in the classroom. And some of the stuff he said, I mean, it reminds me of some of the professors I've had, not in visual art, but in creative writing, where you, on one hand, it sounds really profound, but on the other hand, you're like, how do I get anything useful out of that? I want to read one that I think is really, really interesting. If you're going to make an illustration, you must take poetry and song into it. You must contribute something of romance and drama to the page of a magazine. I mean, what do you think he meant by that? Because when I see the paintings, I can definitely see romance, I can see drama, but I'm not sure how you deliberately put something like that into an illustration. What you do as an illustrator to make that come to life?
You know, I think Dunn loved this notion that art was a very cerebral experience, and that for him, the page was truly enhanced by the poetic aspects of art. And even though he was telling or being inspired to tell a particular story, the painting in and of itself was a completely different experience and opportunity. And he really felt that every student should put every drop of blood, sweat, and tears into every single work that they ever did. So, you know, I think he had very high expectations for himself and his students. And he wanted to make sure that that level was maintained in the name of illustration, I would have to say.
And he also said, you don't emphasize the wrong word if you want to be understood. Neither should you emphasize the unimportant in painting. And I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like to be a student sitting there having, you know, probably worked for hours and hours and hours to put something together. And Harvey Dunn just walks up and says, you're emphasizing the wrong thing.
Yes. You know, he did not mince words. And I think, you know, there are these great accounts of you know, students who would sort of almost leave the classroom crying because he was that particular with them. But what he said was he felt like he'd be wasting students' time if he wasn't honest, because he said the people who are really dedicated are going to stay, and the ones who are not won't. And he felt that that would be a better outcome for them, because he understood the challenges of being a professional artist. You do have times when the art director says, you have to change this. You know, this isn't working for our advertisement, our fiction article, whatever it happens to be. You need to make the sweater yellow. It might be red. In Rockwell's case, you need to take the spots off the dog. You need to change the insignia on the Boy Scout uniform, whatever it happens to be. And I think you have to have a little bit of a thick skin in order to not take that very personally. But of course, I mean, there are great stories. Like, a lot of this is very subjective. One time, Harvey Dunn asked N.C. Wyeth to take his place. I guess he was away, and N.C. Wyeth came in to teach his class. And he gave specific correction to one student that when Harvey Dunn came back into the classroom, he completely reversed, said the exact opposite thing. Dunn would also, he was one of these kinds of teachers who, instead of just talking to a student, he'd push them aside and then work directly on their work. Because what he understood was that unless that person saw what he was talking about, they probably wouldn't understand. So some people took exception to that, but a lot of people appreciated it.
And I imagine it had to be a little bit frustrating, because teaching something like art, it's not like teaching math where there's a right answer and a wrong answer, and it's very black and white. It can be very subjective as to what is important and what is not important in the painting, for example.
Exactly. I mean, it is extremely subjective. You know, Howard Pyle said, think about not painting the crescendo of the story. Dunn loved the crescendo of the story. So it really depends on, you know, how you feel about your own work and what you feel is going to attract audience, because, of course, they were all about the people.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Stephanie Plunkett, the deputy director at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Massachusetts. They've brought the Harvey Dunn exhibit, Harvey Dunn and his students, to the Hunter Museum here in Chattanooga. As we've been saying, Norman Rockwell, Harvey Dunn, they're very nostalgic. And I think it's really an interesting time in American politics right now, because it seems like we have kind of a movement that's very much based on nostalgia. People who say, I really want to take America back to the 1950s, back to the time when we didn't lock our doors at night and there was no crime. And, and it's like, I don't think that America ever really existed. I don't think there was ever really a time when there was no crime. So I'm just wondering what you at the Norman Rockwell Museum, for example, have seen. Do you see a resurgence in interest in Dunn and Rockwell because of kind of this zeitgeist in America right now to go back to these traditional times?
I think yes. What's interesting is that even Rockwell said, you know, I was painting the America I knew and observed to others who might not have noticed, but he said that he was specifically avoiding the ugly. The American publications during mid-20th century were presenting an aspirational view. So the illustrators were really presenting the best in us. I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, humanity at its best is phenomenal. And that's the kind of presentation they were making. I think Rockwell, Dunn, many of Dunn's students, this is really what how they were trained and what they aspired to. I think they understood that with millions of people seeing their pictures, they could actually have an impact. And that is what actually happened. I think they inspired a sense of nationalism during their time that we could probably never imagine today. And the pictures had a lot to do with it. I think people were seeing in those pictures who they could be, and not necessarily who they were, but who they could be.
Is there anything else you want to say about the exhibition that's at the Hunter right now?
I want to tell you that the Hunter Museum of American Art is phenomenal. Their installation is beautiful. The collections, their permanent collection galleries, are quite remarkable. They're beautifully installed. They go from historical to contemporary art. So if people come to see the exhibition, I hope they can make a day of it, because there is just so much to see at that museum, and it's a real gem in just a beautiful city. It's very exciting to see it and to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Stephanie Plunkett from the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. That museum, along with the South Dakota Art Museum in Brookings, South Dakota, created the exhibit Masters of the Golden Age, Harvey Dunn and His Students, which is now on display here in Chattanooga at the Hunter Museum of American Art. I am Michael Edward Miller. This has been a Rounded About Chattanooga. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, you can email me, mike-miller@utc.edu.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.